Come with me if you want to live.
Hello, all. This is my Terminator episode. It has spoilers, so if you have not seen the movie, please save this episode for later. I think the language is clean, and I think you'll enjoy the show. So stay tuned. Welcome to another episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line, and I have a guest, Carl, and he's from RobotCast, and he...
Oh, yes. Thank you, my dear. RobotCast.com. Come to me anytime. No subtle plug there, subtle plug.
Yeah, very subtle. Very subtle. No, but that is a very good... I haven't had a chance to listen to the podcast, actually, because I kind of... You came into my consciousness when you said you want to talk to me about Terminator, so I haven't had a chance to catch up, but... I looked at a couple of minutes of your video podcast, in which you only done one of, right?
Actually,
or you done several.
I've been doing it for a year. The first and only consistent video podcast on robotics on the web. So
I should pay a little bit more attention to that. And I only saw one clip, or it must have been the site that I went to, that it only looked like there was only one. So
look me up.
Yeah. So RobotCast. And guess what we're going to talk about? Maybe we'll talk about flowers and fashion today, you think? No, of course we're going to talk about robots. But we're going to talk about Terminator, the movie, and what we thought about that to start off with. So this latest, fourth movie, what did you think?
Okay, I'm going to start right out of the gate. On a scale of 1 to 10, I got to give it a 6. A 6.
Well, that's mediocre.
Yeah, I was really looking forward to, and I had low expectations. I went into this thing, conservatively. We saw 3, after that, I was like, okay, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to go in with an open mind. They do some things right in this movie, but there are some things that are not quite right.
Okay, what's right for you?
What's right? First of all, there are moments in this movie that really take you back to the original Terminator movies. I mean, my favorite one is Terminator 2. That's my favorite of the series. And there are moments where they get the lighting right, they get the movements right. Like, okay, everybody knows this is a spoiler episode, right? We can talk about
whatever. Oh, yeah, I talk about whatever, yeah. Okay. Don't worry about that.
Okay.
You can even say curse words, too.
But now you're just talking crazy. Now you're just talking crazy. But okay, so... You remember Terminator 2? Apparently, in every Terminator movie, there's got to be some kind of metal, refinery. So they just happen to be in every episode. But in the movie where, the Terminator is coming after, the crew, he's climbing up the stairs, and, all the skin's been burned off. And you see the little, chrome metallic foot going up the stairs, that gray stair, the same little chrome heel, just like they did in Terminator 2, the same ominous approach. It felt just like, everything that you love from the old series, from the original, from, Terminator 1, from Terminator 2, all of that they did right. The robots were just beautiful in this movie. I mean, they had a real
sense. They look different. Are they different?
Well, the newer models were. The newer model was. But, I'm talking about the old burn-up Arnold. When Arnold came back at the end and was chasing...
Yeah, his face looks flatter or something.
Well, he was computer-generated,
Not his flesh face, the Terminator face. They look like they don't have definition in... Or maybe that's just me. It seemed like they had more definition in the nose, and their face were more angled, and the faces seem flatter to me.
Huh? I did not notice that. Well, maybe I'll go back and check.
Maybe that's just me, though. Maybe that's just me. Because if you didn't notice it, then.
Well, I'm just saying. I
could be crazy,
maybe I need. At this point, I had an eyebrow up for the remainder of the film. Going, come on now, come on. Don't be going here now. I like the new machines. I liked, the advance of the technology where you could really see the CGI kicking in and, you finally get to see the robots up and walking around and chasing folks. I liked all of that as opposed to, just the props and puppetry that the crew did in the previous Terminator movies. It was, I liked that a lot. So, yes, the robots were real. I liked that. The movie had a good feel. It looked right where there was just these moments.
Yeah.
Yeah, the lighting was great, and I love the explosions. I mean, stuff. Right in this movie, which for me, a good explosion can save a film. I got to admit.
They had enough of them. I mean, I think people were complaining about the amount of explosions, but me, I was fine with it.
Blasphemy, I say. You can never have too many explosions in a good action film. I did like the explosions. So
big machine that was, blowing everything up when they was at the gas trying to refuel.
Yes, the Terminator Megatron. Yes.
Yeah, the big thing. He kind of looked like a big hulked out version of the little bots in Episode 1 of Star Wars with his head or something. It was something about him that reminded me of those little marching bots that were going to war and Jar Jar Binks was shooting them, and it was just crazy. But I just really, it was original, I guess, but it just reminded me of that. Okay. But it had different, I mean, motorcycles came out of the heels of the thing, and it had big claws where it was, you know, reaching down and
pulling
people out.
I like the Cyclebots a lot.
Yeah.
They were sweet.
Those are new, right?
Yeah, the Cyclebots, okay. the big Megatron thing was new. that was cool. But okay, so we've done the special effects. I actually thought a lot of the ideas in the movie were good, too. I mean, the concept of Marcus Wright, where he came from and all that, as well as his acting. I like the guy that played Marcus Wright in this movie.
He was hot.
That's what I liked about him. Ooh, yeah.
It was kind of, it had a little bit of chick flick to it, you know?
Well, well, now, you know, Terminator 2 was all about empowered Sarah Connor, so, you know, they do a fair job of representing strong women in this movie. And, of course, Moon Bloodgood is a real good character. What's her name? Blair? Blair, I think, was her name.
Yeah, Blair. Blair Williams.
She was strong, you know, fighter, A-10 pilot, you know, no playing around, so she was nice.
Yeah.
So I liked her character. I liked Marcus Wright, Kyle Reese. Kyle Reese was cool. The kid?
Yeah.
I liked him, too, and I liked how he was acting and just his character and how it came out in the story. All of this is good. It's like these pieces, you know, if you take them separately and you just look at them and appreciate them for the effects, the machines, certain characters I liked a lot. That's what, you know, bumped the score up for me in this. And they were respectful in a lot of ways to the spirit of what the Terminator movies were about.
Yes, like, come with me if you want to live.
Yeah, I'll be back. You know, they got to...
Yeah. They said that?
Yes.
I missed it.
Connor says it. Wait, is Connor says somebody... I think Connor says it. I'll be back. Yes, that's right. As he's leaving he's about to go single-handedly to take down Skynet, you know, and he turns to...
Oh, towards the end. I must have went on a potty break or something. I don't know. Don't mind me, I'm silly.
No.
So Kyle Reese, we saw him in Star Wars. He was Chekhov. And I was surprised to see him in something, another summer blockbuster.
Star Trek.
So I think,
Star Trek, yes.
Did I say Star Wars?
Yes.
I've been doing that, like, the whole time the new Star Trek has been out. I've been calling it Star Wars.
Like, you go get letters. You go get letters about that. You know?
Yeah, they know me by now. My people, they just like, oh, whatever. Cat's talking crazy. Let's just ignore. But, yeah, I think... Anton, he's going to have a long career because he's just been on fire. He's been in the two best movies of the summer so far.
And doing good in both of them. Yeah. I like him a lot.
Mm-hmm. I would have to mention Michael Ironside, which is one of my favorite actors. He has been in tons of stuff. Him and Arnold was in, what do you call that, Total Recall together.
Of course.
He was, you know who I'm talking about, Michael Ironside.
Of course. Again. Come on.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, you didn't sound excited. You didn't start screaming, so I didn't.
Well, you know about Michael Ironside.
Uh-oh. Well, yeah, he's a little bit of a B-movie actor, but he was in the A now. He's on the A-list now. He was in Terminator. Unless Terminator is a B-movie, and I didn't know about it.
On occasion, people have accused Michael Ironside, not personal, but he as being typecast. Now, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that he may have been a little typecast. Now, see, look, I don't even care about that, all right? You take it back to Total Recall. You take it back to, what was that? What else? He's been some...
Wasn't he in V or something? Or
He may have.
I don't know.
That's going way back there. But
TV show?
I like him. A lot of times he does a real good job. You know, he plays that real authority military figure. Okay.
I love that.
Yeah, now.
Every time. I love it every time. I don't care if he's typecast.
Okay, now.
That's Michael Ironside.
Did you think that Ironside really brought the A game in Terminator Salvation?
Well.
I mean, you know, it was good to see him. Don't get me wrong about that. But, you know, when he was barking out them lines like he always does, something just felt a little bit hollow.
Yeah, I think he knew he was gonna die in the movie, and so he was just like, whatever.
He plays a military guy. He's supposed to be prepared for that. Every scene, he's supposed to be ready.
He had a level of crankiness to him, you know. I was just happy to see him, so he could have been sitting there, you know, rattling off coordinates, and I don't care. Ooh, Michael Ironside. So
listen, I'm always happy to see him with the job. All right, I am always thrilled. You know, granted, it's not Saturday Night Sci-Fi Channel. You know, if we were just
true
away from, you know, Dino Croc or whatever else that going on, I'm happy to see him. But, you know, come on now. This is his eighth game. Don't get me started on Sci-Fi Channel. This is his eighth game. He's supposed to be representing for Terminator, and I was just, I wasn't feeling it. I was not feeling it. I love to see him, I tell you, but I wasn't feeling it.
I didn't want to say anything, you know, because he's Michael Ironside.
We're being sincere here. This is your podcast.
Yeah, I know. What do you think about Helena Bonham Carter?
Well, okay, I like her. You know, obviously there's not a lot of her in this movie.
Yeah.
So we all know she can act. And in every part that she played in this movie, she was representing. She brought it. I mean, I liked her a lot in this movie. In my opinion, there wasn't enough of her in it.
Yeah.
But yes, I liked her, and she was creepy beautiful as always. Yeah. So that was nice.
So what did you hate? I know. Are we not finished with what you like? Because I'm surprised that you like so much, because it seemed like you got a little bit of venom, just a little bit.
Well, listen, I'm telling you, I'm a little bit hard on sci-fi movies. I'm a big fan. It's because I want to love them. I'm serious.
Yeah,
I love sci-fi.
I know. I'm right there with you.
All my life, and now with how easy it is to do good special effects, how much, you know, the audience is growing, everybody's getting excited about it. Mm. Come on now. All I ask for is a little bit of plot. Just a little, give me a flake of plot to pull all this stuff together now, because it's easy, you know, to make good sci-fi. So, yeah, and then start with the whole legacy of Terminator. You know, come on, you can do this right in a very easy way. And there were some things that kind of bugged me, bugged me about salvation. So
lay it down.
Where to start?
We start with the breath.
Okay, all right. I'll give you this. We got a planet full of super intelligent machines capable of communicating multispectrally all across the globe instantaneously. Can't jam a ham radio. All right,
yeah.
That's my first beef. Every night you got John Connor on his CB, you know, broadcasting to the planet. The most important way, if you want to take out a robot, is to hit him in the back of the neck with a 2x4. Right, okay, this is the kind of information. It seems like Skynet wouldn't want getting out, all right?
Oh, my God. Well, maybe, you know, they had a different frequency, and what had happened was they tweaked it with the that thing and it had a different spectrum. Yeah, you know, that's
it. I work with you. Now, listen now. I tried in my mind of work. I'm going, yeah, well, maybe it was like a crypto signal. Where, you know, the military people get, okay, now riddle me this. You got the first time we meet Kyle Reese, right? Kyle and Marcus Wright. We find him in that warehouse, right? You know, they just climb through the hole. They drop the big train part on the Terminator. It was awesome, right? What happens? The kids are like, oh, we haven't had radio in like 3 months. You get Marcus Wright reaching in the back, pulls out like an Archer radio, but fixes it with a paper clip.
And piece of bubble gum, too.
This is no advanced radio here that he is using to receive this with. So, I mean, it is not like he was scrambling on some kind of crazy crypto key. This is just broadcasting out on probably AM.
Well, see, I can buy it, though, because they hadn't had radio in a long time. So if they hadn't been broadcasting, the machines would not have known to, I guess, follow their signal.
No.
But you do have no, but the... But when they did their broadcast, and you remember they went to the Jeep, and then the machine found them. So maybe it took them a while to locate them after they, you know, received the broadcast.
You're really working. Remember when I said they hadn't had radio? I'm saying that was Kyle and the kid hadn't had radio. Remember, the whole planet had been listening to them. Other than that, remember earlier in the movie?
Right.
So the radio signal had been out. Machines know how to find radio. That's, you know, that little thing. Okay, all right. So maybe okay.
It's a different type of radio. It's a modified radio. We could go with that.
Okay, all right. I think
we could let them have it. It's a sci-fi radio.
Okay, a sci-fi. Okay, I got another. I got another one then. Okay.
Okay.
So we're in the Rebel hangout here, right? We just found Marcus Wright at this point. He's talking to the crew, and he's mad because, you know, they just stole his buddy Kyle Reese. He's ready to single-handedly go in there and take out Skynet, right?
Mm-hmm.
What is it they tell him? They say, "No, man, you can't go out there because they have infrared vision. They hunt worse at night. Don't go at night because they have infrared," right? Let's see that, right?
Uh-huh, yeah.
The first time they go out at night, you got Blair, you know, Blood Good, and Marcus Wright traipsing out in the middle of the dark. What's the first thing they do? Start a bonfire. All right, in the middle of the night, they start a bonfire, followed by a gunfight. All right, now, listen.
You are outraged.
Throughout this movie, all right, these guys turn on a boombox in the middle of the street, in the middle of the desert. 8 minutes later, robots are descending on him. He turns on a radio in a car on the side of a hill. 3 minutes later, you got Terminators descending on him. These guys have a bonfire, a fist fight, gunfight in the middle of the night. And what's Skynet thinking? Maybe it's birds. I don't know. I don't know what that was. I would just move along.
It could be forest fire season. They probably ignored that.
Well, after the napalming of the entire Rebel base that they did to chase down Marcus Wright, maybe they were just a little distracted at that point. You know,
it was a little tired.
I'm just saying.
You know, robots got to rest.
You know, if you're going to be doing planetary domination, you got to be on your A game, all right? You can't be whistling around and inconsistent about when you're showing up. So there were things like that. Okay, look, maybe I'm nitpicking. You think this is
that when you have to turn your brain off a little bit. You're too smart.
I understand suspension of disbelief, but all good sci-fi, there are basic rules that they set out when they start the movie, and then you play around in the rules. That's it. You've never seen a lightsaber cut a planet in half. You know, there are certain rules that you just say, this is the zone that we're going to play within. Go. And then after that, you know, we can go with you. So, I mean, are the machines all powerful? Do they see what's happening all over the planet or not? You know, they set cars on fire in a ravine, hunter killers descend 20 minutes later, but they don't see the bonfire in a fist. But I'm just saying, it's a little bit.
You know, sometimes I don't have an answer. I don't have an answer. I think that if that's the biggest thing that you had wrong with that you saw that was wrong with the movie, that's good.
Well,
you know.
Well, I'm.
Is that just part two?
Well, there are other things. I just think that, you know, with certain holes in the storyline, you know, like I said, again, they're technical ones. But come on, if you're doing a sci-fi film, you have to kind of appeal to the technical side of the audience. If you don't want to address that, well, then there's got to be a strong enough B-plot where you're really starting to care about the characters. I did care about Marcus Wright.
Yes.
What did you think about John Connor in this film?
I don't know. Christian Bale, he's hot. I have a best friend who, and I quote, says that his face is sculpted by God. She loves him. So
I'm looking for something about story or plot. Please continue.
No. Let me get my girl fangirl thing out first.
Okay, all right.
So yeah, he's hot. I think he was hotter in Batman. But as a John Connor, I don't know. I care more about Marcus Wright and his story and what was John Connor doing. And another thing that I noticed that bothered me a little bit is that, okay, there was no time travel in this movie. So the fact that he needed to save Kyle Reese, does everybody know that he needed to save Kyle Reese because Kyle Reese was his dad and something like that? Or, I mean, how, I don't understand.
Yeah, that's
how somebody who've never seen this movie or who haven't seen it in a long time, like myself, could understand, like, okay, we're going to find Kyle Reese, but why?
That's a good question because, because we've seen all the movies and we knew that.
Yeah, we know, yeah.
And also, you know, you get an idea or a feeling that a lot of the humans in the story didn't know the whole history of John Connor. It's clear the machines knew. that Rhys was his father, because that's why he was one of the targets early in the movie.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you know, Ironside's like, hey, let's nuke the base. I don't think he had an idea that, you know, that...
Yeah, I was a little bothered by that, because nobody knew who Kyle Rhys was, and there was no urgency to save this guy, and
yeah.
John Connor did not say, hey, you know, there's going to be time travel. I guess that would have been too wacky if they didn't know. Of an explanation.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Well, yeah, no, the time there was no. That's a very good point. Of all the Terminator movies, no time travel in this one. So, yeah, that's interesting. That's interesting.
Do you think it hurt it, or I don't?
I don't.
It was just because it's lost the point of why we needed to save Kyle Rhys.
Well, the fans of the series knew. New people coming into the movie may have been distracted by the explosion. And just because they cared enough about him as a character, may have thought, hey, you know, this is a really great thing that Connor is doing. But yeah, that's a darn good point. Maybe it was in some of that Star Wars text, you know, at the beginning. He did a lot of writing on the screen where, you know, they give you the background, which is another favorite of my plot device. But my two favorite things, if you got to write across the screen what's happening or the voiceover, you know, those two things I really, really don't like in movies. So maybe because we weren't paying attention at the writing part. Maybe I missed that.
Well, I mean, I know they said he played the cassette tape of all things back.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
but that was just him. I mean, we don't have any evidence that he played that to other people. So Connor was listening.
So maybe this is a time in history where they don't know about the time travel, which seems a little weird. If you watch did you watch the television show Sarah Connor Chronicles at all?
I loved Sarah Connor Chronicles.
Really? Okay.
I really, really did. Yes, I did watch it. So what were you going to ask?
So John Connor has gotten to this point in the future where Judgment Day has happened, and so if we, I guess, look at Sarah Connor Chronicles, he knows about time travel because he's done it before, and some of the people in his camp should know about that already.
Yeah.
So I still don't see why they decided to leave the time travel out of this movie, because that is weird.
Well, that's interesting. And, you know, I've read some other reviews, and people were saying that certain elements of the movie were confusing to them. So I kind of hung in there. I didn't get lost anywhere through the film, but maybe it's, you know, folks that don't know the history of Terminator and you know, kind of miss some of the things that you're pointing out here. Because, I don't think the lack of time travel hurt the movie, but I do think that acknowledging it a little more may have helped. May have explained things a little bit more. But, yeah, okay, I really didn't think about that.
Maybe the exclusion of time travel was mainly for the people who hadn't seen the movie or, you know, are not into it. Because leaving it out, I mean, as a standalone story, I guess it kind of works.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, could be.
I guess it kind of works. I don't know. I thought it was a decent enough movie. Christian Bale, I don't know. Yeah,
okay, now... You saw him in Equilibrium, right?
No. What is that?
Oh, you got to see this movie. Equilibrium was the first movie I really saw Christian Bale in. First of all, for the ladies out there, it's got Christian
Lord.
Bale and Taye Diggs in it. So
I hear you
Netflixing already. Are you getting
hell
online?
Yeah, I'm jotting me a post.
Equilibrium, your fans are going, oh, I know that movie. The Equilibrium is like if somebody took Fahrenheit 451, 1984 and The Matrix and mixed it together. Okay.
Wait a second. I saw that.
You remember Gun Kata?
Yes.
You know,
because now that you describe it, I did see that. That was a good movie because they were in the sci-fi suits and somebody betrayed somebody or something. And
yes, there was betrayal. There, but
it was a good movie. Yes, I saw it.
Okay, so but to think about this now. Christian Bale can speak in a normal voice. You remember that? We've seen him in other things.
I think he spoke in a normal voice on American Psycho
American Psycho, and so we've seen him talk normal, all right? When he came out as Batman, and he gave me that Batman voice, I was like, oh, come on, man, come on. And so, but I said, all right, I'm going to let it go. As Batman, he's trying to be dark. Why are you using the same voice as John Connor?
Maybe dude been smoking, and that's his voice now.
Every time it started to bug me, I got to admit, I was like, oh, God, I'm John again. You're going to say something else?
We are dead.
The last battle here on Earth. Oh, no, John. Can we get the man a lozenge? That's all I'm asking. They're killing me.
Oh my goodness.
So, you know, that in he felt like in the story, you know, I like Marcus Wright a lot. I like Kyle Reese a lot. I like many of the characters in this film. But John Connor, it's something about the way that he came across in this movie. You know, he didn't have the same amount of heart to me as it seems like he should have. You get the sense.
You think Christian Bale was being a bit of a diva here? Because, you know, he had that tantrum.
What are you talking about? Christian Bale had a tantrum? I don't recall hearing anything about this.
Okay, well, there's a big thing about him in a tantrum, and...
Stars can be divas. As long as they deliver on the screen, I don't care about all that stuff.
What do you
really
think? Maybe he thought this movie was beneath him?
You know,
It had Michael Ironside, for crying out loud.
You be good. You be right? Good. You talking about Ironside. If you got Liam Neeson can have the right to complain that a movie is beneath him. All right, Liam Neeson talking about Qui-Gon in Episode 1, I can understand him having a little, you know, higher than thou. He can pull an Alec Guinness because of the caliber.
Wait, whoa. Liam Neeson was a diva on Star Wars?
Oh, yeah, he hasn't said a lot of good things about his experience there. So, yeah. Oh, was this news? Oh, I thought, yeah, this is...
My heart's...
Yeah, I know, because he was one of my favorite characters in Episode 1. But look,
that's why I loved Episode 1, because of him. I didn't even see Jar Jar the first time I saw that movie. People was like, what is this whole Jar Jar thing? I was like, what are you talking about? All I saw was Liam Neeson.
Everybody that I liked in Episode 1 got killed. But don't even get me... We're not going to go off on Episode 1. Let's stay on...
Okay, yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah. Look at you trying to keep me on track on my own show. I could go... No,
let's go back. We're going to be doing this all day. So we're going
to
try
to be a two-hour show, yeah. Okay, let's go back to...
So Liam Neeson, if he wants to bust an Alec Guinness and say, oh, you know, that was... I'll let it slide. I'll let that slide. Well, you know, come on. Christian Bale ought to be happy he's getting work. I'm serious. This is a good movie. It's a good movie. He's a good actor. I don't want to hear any of that. I don't want to hear any of that from him. So that's it. I don't think he thought it was beneath him. I don't know what he was doing in this movie. And sometimes, you know, and again, I'm...
Do you think the director... I mean, because the director is the one who tells him what to do. So I guess the director may have said, we want the Batman voice. Because he had to have approved of that.
I can't believe it.
You can't just go around, I'm going to do the Batman voice and nobody can tell. You know, you just, I mean, even if he is Christian Bale.
I can't believe McGee said, Batman voice, let's go with that. I like McGee. I like the stuff that he does.
I love Supernatural, but I don't.
And he also did Charlie's Angels. Charlie's Angels.
Did I see that? I think I did, maybe.
Yeah. I don't know. I like the kinetics on that. It was good.
Yeah.
A lot of good explosions, you see. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, so,
no Michael Bay, but it's pretty damn good.
Yeah. No one blows up like Michael Bay. That is totally assumed there.
So is that is all that you had with the Terminator?
Yeah, there's other stuff, but let's.
Is it nitpicky? Or, I mean, do you think it's going to reboot the...
The franchise? Yeah, I think this isn't the last we've seen of the series. I think it's going to pull in some money. I think it was a good start at redoing this, and the next one, which I'm sure will come, the next one, if they tighten up the story a little bit, you know, I really want things to flow a little bit better, because this movie felt like a bunch of clips kind of glued together. I got, you know, with the exception of the Wright Kyle stuff, which mm-hmm. felt really good together, everything else, it didn't really have a strong sense of flow to me. It felt there were these beautiful little, you know, vignettes that kind of mm-hmm. came together artistically. I like the way this movie looked. I like the way the effects came together. But in terms of really getting into the story, in terms of really feeling like stuff made sense in a way, maybe next time. Maybe.
Yeah, I didn't feel it moved it along. I wanted more Skynet interference. I mean, because it just... We had, like, the one talk about with Helena Bonham Carter's character talking about Skynet and stuff, but we don't really get a sense of the machines at this point have taken over Skynet, so there's no more humans.
Right, right. Oh,
in Skynet, is that what's going on?
Oh yeah, oh yeah. That's pretty clear.
Oh, okay.
That's
yeah. I don't like that. That's kind of boring.
Yeah, well.
And it's just like it might as well be a zombie movie, because I actually remember thinking this is just like a zombie movie where, you know,
Resident Evil.
What's the mm-hmm. yeah
yeah? Mm-hmm.
Is it, they're just, you know, robot zombies?
Yeah, yeah. And of course there was that whole, you know, enslaving the humans like from the Matrix. You know, you get that whole
yes
march
yes exactly
the scenes from that where, you know, we've seen that so many times before now that I really thought that, and they don't really explain a lot about why they grabbed all the humans up, you know, what was going on there.
They're evil robots. I don't think they thought they had to explain.
Yeah, see.
But it doesn't work.
Yeah, they yeah, I mean, they need to do something with that. Okay, so, see, it's hard to tell. You say I'm nitpicking about stuff, but things like that, when I'm watching a sci-fi film, and you're rounding up hundreds of thousands of humans, you know, you got to have a reason. They are machines. Are they just pinning them? Are they killing them all off? Are they doing?
Well, if we think about Sarah Connor Chronicles, they grabbed those people up and they made them into machines and
yeah, but
was, different models like the Cylons, perhaps. I don't know.
Yeah, but it was like eight dudes. They had hundreds of thousands of people. You know, if you think they're scooping them up at 7-Elevens, how many people? This guy that
well, maybe the fault of the Cylons is that they only use eight dudes. Yeah, I mean, you never knew who.
Good
it
point.
Was Caprica.
Very good
da,
point.
Da, da, this seems is, I don't like know, Caprica it. 2, Caprica 8, 9, I don't know.
Yeah, seems like somebody may have noticed that there was only eight of them. It's going to be 12 running around, but...
oh my goodness. Well, the new Sarah Connor Chronicles is, I guess, terminated.
Yes, I am heartbroken. Heartbroken about that.
So you think it was a good show? I mean, I enjoyed it. It kind of started off slow, but I ended up enjoying it.
I believe it got better. There's a lot of criticism about the weirdness that the series did midway, where, okay, remember I said I believe that they should develop characters more in Terminator Salvation? Well,
yeah.
They did a little too much character development.
Yeah.
I mean, there are whole episodes where it's like hanging out in Sarah Connor's living room. You know, I'm serious. You know, it's like, yeah. John, tell me how you feel today. I was like, okay, this is a little much.
Do you have your period? Like, come on, y'all.
No, the ladies were ganging up. And then there was this one episode where of Sarah Connor Chronicles where they go back to the 20s, and I'm watching a Terminator.
Oh, yeah.
A hitman from the 20s. I mean, okay.
I kind of like that one. I thought that was clever.
It was interesting. It was interesting. But you got to remember at what point in the series this is going on. I mean, they were threatening to cancel it around that time. So, you know, to be putting all this arty stuff in there, I respect the writers and I respect, you know, I did enjoy the character development in Sarah Connor Chronicles. I really thought, you know, I cared about the people. I thought they were interesting in here. That was fun. But, you know, you got to time stuff right. Yeah, I wanted some explosions up in there to try to keep the show on TV. And
they didn't show enough Terminators.
Oh, yeah. No. And, you know,
they're all flesh.
Well,
yeah.
And, you know, with TV budgets, you know, for a show.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
They can't do that. But they did. Oh, I love Summer Glau. She did a great job in the movie. Yeah. The guy with John Henry. I'm loving John Henry, man.
The chick from Garbage was good. Or was it Manson, Shirley Manson? She was good. The lady with the red hair, the mother Terminator.
Yeah. She was scary. That
I loved her.
I did too. I'm just saying she was freaking me. I totally believe she was a machine.
She's a little too cold. Yeah,
I'm absolutely heartbroken that Sarah Connor Chronicles is canceled, because I really thought that they were ramping up as a series. They were really, you know, getting tighter with the storylines. There were more robots. There were more machines. You know, look how the darn episode ended. I mean, the series ended. You got
that was pretty good.
You got them teaming up with the bad guy robots, or what we thought were the bad guy. You know what was happening. That's what I look for in good sci-fi. Don't make it predictable. Take me someplace that I haven't seen before in the show. So yeah, I'm pretty sad about that.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I don't know maybe if a campaign would save it. I'd seriously doubt it, because it's on Fox, and once they put the axe down, then...
Yeah, I wrote in. I think I did, too. I wrote in, and I participated in that video campaign, you know, where you could put your clips in there. I don't know if they use my clip or not, but I did what I could. But, you know, I'm just hurt in general. This year, some of my favorite shows, and I've been getting further and further away from TV this mm-hmm. year, because, you know, some of the shows I really loved. I loved, we talked about Moon Bloodgood. I loved Journeyman. That time travel, sort of
yeah.
like the modern Quantum Leap.
Yes, I love that. That was such a, I always call it elegant, but I really think it was the most elegant science fiction show ever.
Very good. You were right, because, I mean, the writing was dead on. I mean, you're talking about character development. Mm. That is what I'm talking about. You really cared about the people. And there was just the gentle unveiling of technology
yes.
and of story. And the scene, okay, we hear some spoil. You remember the scene when the boy sees his father jump for the first time.
He's got the ball. Oh, that was so cute.
And he thought his dad is crazy all of this time, and he sees him just disappear, and the ball drops. Oh, come
yeah.
on.
That's what it was. Just it was well written. Everything was very subtle, and nice. I think that's why people didn't. There was no. He fought a lot, and there some things exploded or crashed, but it was very subtle show.
Yeah. Oh, so I love that. And of course, canceled. I liked. You know, we're getting a little away from sci-fi here, but what was the with the pie maker with the pie help me out here
because I have no idea and
Pushing Daisies. Pushing
oh,
Daisies.
Oh, I heard about that. I don't know why I didn't get into that for some reason.
Yeah, so beautiful. So it felt like Tim Burton made. Now I know that's not who it was, but just the colors and the light and the story of the silliness of the story, the characters were just beautiful, just crazy exaggerated. Oh yeah, that's canceled, so that's not on anymore. you just go down the list of all of the really greats. I loved Atlantis, Stargate Atlantis.
Yeah, that didn't last as long as I. And it got really good at the end.
Oh yes, it did.
We got Stargate Universe coming out, I think, this year, soon.
Yeah, okay. Well, let's hope that's good.
You got Eureka's coming back. That's a good show.
Yeah, love Eureka. I like that a lot.
Warehouse
like
13 lot. Is something new, sci-fi.
Okay, well, I'm not going to get excited.
Dollhouse was saved. I'm on the fence about that still.
I'm not a big fan of Dollhouse.
You are?
No, not a big fan of Dollhouse.
Yeah, I can see how somebody, you know, you wouldn't care for it. It's, I don't know. I'm not there with it. So how about this Terminator movie? We got Robots in Disguise coming.
Transformers?
No, I'm
Transformers.
Sorry, Transformers. You know what I'm talking about.
Well, you know, I waited for just the right movie to approach you here. Because, I've been listening to your podcast for a while, and, I've been enjoying them. But I didn't feel like I could contribute to just any old sci-fi movies. So I waited for the right one. So what you're asking me about is perhaps when Terminator... Oh, excuse me, now you got me doing it. Transformers comes around. Maybe we ought to do this again. Another robot-related theme. I think.
Okay. I don't mind that.
and one other thing. I see you retweeted me. How about Surrogate?
I'm so excited about that. My first time seeing the trailer was when I was seeing Terminator. Oh, yeah, I got mm-hmm. that right. And I was so excited about it because it totally reminded me of like a flesh version of Second Life, because I'm all about virtual worlds and avatars and stuff like that. And I'm excited about it. Was that Bruce Willis?
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
I know. Granted, it was the blonde hair that threw you. But yes, that was Bruce.
And he looks so handsome and rugged.
Oh, nah. Okay, all right.
You know, you should know how I'd roll by now.
I do. I'm just trying to represent for all the straight men.
There's some cute eye candy chicks in there. I just don't know their names or don't care. But what do you think about this movie? I mean, I don't. And then there was another movie, Gamer, with the guy from 3000 or 300.
Okay. I'm noticing.
Sparta. This is Sparta.
I'm noticing a trend in how you identify the movies, but okay, yes. I haven't seen Gamer yet.
I haven't seen it either, but I'm just saying, did you see the trailer?
I haven't seen the trailer for it yet.
So it's just called Gamer. Maybe you could search for it, but if you type in Gamer, you might come up with everything. But maybe Gamer movie?
Okay, yeah, I'll check
Surrogate.
It.
That is a total surprise to me. I didn't know anything like that was coming out. I guess I can shut up for a while and listen. What do you think about it? What do you think it's going to...
Under the radar, you saw my tweet about, 15 minutes after I had seen. That was the first time I had seen the trailer. I didn't even see it in the theater.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes they sneak really good movies in there. Like Equilibrium is another example mm-hmm. where you didn't see anything about that movie. for, you know, a lot of these movies a year ahead, we know they're coming, and we know all kinds of big things, bells and whistles, and they have the big campaigns. Mm-hmm. But these little sci-fi movies that sneak in here, and you don't hear much about them, and especially when you got Bruce Willis, come on, it's hard to go wrong with Bruce.
Yeah.
I'm feeling good about it, because it's looking interesting. I'm getting a little bit excited about it, but that's it. I don't know. All I saw was the previews.
It has a chance to be a dud, though.
Well, it could be. It could be. But
what was the Tom Cruise movie with the precogs?
Oh, what you tell me? You didn't like
what was that
Minority
called?
Report?
You I didn't liked like it. Minority? I liked it. It kind of reminds me of that a little. But
yeah,
For some reason, I'm not sure why. It reminds me of that.
Well, yeah, it seemed to be like a detective running around. But no, I like Bruce Willis as an investigator a lot more than Tom Cruise as like a cop investigator.
Tom Cruise is kind of crazy. So.
I think that's going to be fun. Hmm.
So. Okay. Well, I don't know. Carl, any other things you got?
No, I'm going to leave it alone.
You're not going to go?
I'm going to leave it alone. I said my piece. There are many things up and down. But listen, my final verdict about all of this is, if you're a fan of the Terminator series, go see the movie, okay? There are moments that really take you back. And granted, I did give it a 6 out of 10, but there are a few movies that I give 10s out of 10s, all right?
Which in general one? Kind of, what, recently?
What? No, I said there are a few movies that I give 10 out of 10s.
I said, which one is that? It had to be Star Trek.
Well, that was a 9. That was a 9.
Okay.
That was
Star Trek. Right, I'm just checking you out, trying to see where your head is at.
Yeah, no. Lord of the Rings is 10. Lord of the Rings is 10. Okay.
The first one, not the other two.
What? I loved all three. What are you talking about?
I got burnt out after.
No, but they're a set. You can't separate the Lord of the Rings. They're a set.
Be quiet before somebody forced me to watch that thing again. That's how it happens. Somebody go, come on, cat, watch it. We can do a podcast about it.
My friends, you bow to no one. I was tearing up. I was like, it was just terrible. I love those movies, man. You bow to no one. Yes, that's how you make a film.
God. Oh, my goodness. All right, I'll let you have it, but I got burned out a little bit, you know? All right, well.
It's going to be a good time.
Okay. Good time. All right then, Carl. Thanks for coming on. And give us your URL and your
In case someone had missed it, that is robotcast.com, the first, most definitive, longest-running video podcast about robotics on the internet. Robotcast.
And what is your Twitter?
Robotcast. Cryptically enough, Robotcast. I try to make things simple.
Yeah,
follow me on Twitter.
Well, thanks for joining me, and I will see you so we can talk about Transformers.
I will see you soon, Kat. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey, Kat, this is Danny in NC, leaving a little feedback about my impressions of this new Star Trek movie. My four kids and my husband took me to see it on Mother's Day. This was my kids' first Star Trek experience. They haven't watched any of the shows or any of the other movies, and they all loved it. So I think this movie is totally accessible for somebody who does not watch sci-fi, because one of my 12-year-olds is not a sci-fi geek at all, or for anybody who just wants a good action movie or a good introduction to the series. My 16-year-old and my 10-year-old are both ready to go watch some of the series and movies now that they've got an introduction to what it's all about. My favorite part of the movie is, like, totally frivolous and girly, but I'm just so glad that they stuck with the short skirts on the girls and the heavy 1960s cat eye makeup and the big ponytails and the falls in their hair. I just, you know, that appeals to the latent fashionista in me. And as for paying high ticket prices for food in the theater, you poor, poor babies. I got to bring my lunch into the theater. The theater we go to lets you bring in food. Apparently they're inside of a mall, and they know that people aren't going to run back out to the car and then come back into the theater. So you can bring in whatever you can buy in the food court. That's all I called about. Talk to you later. Bye.
Hey, Danny, I totally agree about the costuming in Star Trek. It really makes the film for me. I think the real reason why I like Star Trek a lot is that the clothing kind of puts you in a, you know, on a different planet or a different mood. It's not boring, and they always go the extra length to make it interesting to look at with the lines or maybe the stitching on the fabrics. And I really appreciate that they did a good job on that. And that 12-year-old, you got to work on him. Got to get him into science fiction young. All right, well, thanks for calling, Danny. And guess what? You can call, too. It is 206-203-2289. Pick up that cell phone. Pick up landline, whatever you got. Can on a string. I don't care. Just pick it up. Give me a call. Leave me a voicemail about, I don't care, whatever. Just well, not whatever. Make it science fiction. But, yeah, just leave me a voicemail. Give me an email, fancyfanbody@gmail.com. Leave me a comment, scifipartyline.com. You got comment section there. Also, iTunes has a comment section. Be a dear. Leave me one there. And I guess I'll see you guys next week. It was fun. Bye.